Friday edition of Mr. Relevant, presented by Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits. Hope you're having a great Friday. Alex Strofe with you from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Producer Tiny Hands, Hunter Vaughn with me as well. He's at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. I want to talk Scottie Scheffler. I want to talk Packers schedule. I want to talk about the college football video game coming out. I want to tell you what I learned. We'll get to all of that. But what was just told to me moments before we started the show is maybe the most unbelievable thing I've ever heard. Now, young Riley Yauch, who is in for Jesse Nelson today, producing Wilde and Tausch, he just graduated from the University of Wisconsin over the weekend. Congratulations to him. He's a young guy. He's in a relatively new, serious relationship with a wonderful young lady. I'm sure I have not met her. But he's a wonderful young man. Really enjoy Riley. Think he's a great dude. But I just was told he completely forgot it was his girlfriend's 21st birthday last week. And I asked him what he did to make it up to her. He waited 5 days. Riley, are you here?
Yep, I am here now. I'm here. That is true.
What? I don't know how to react. Like, I wanted to talk about the number one golfer in the world getting arrested, but this has completely thrown me out for a loop. So,
yep.
You made it up to her 5 days late.
Yes.
And you said to me, and I quote, she was very compassionate.
Yeah, it's true. She was very nice. She has forgiven me, at least now, even though we did get a text on the text line saying I should wait a few months to see if she's really harboring a grudge or not.
That's true.
Yeah. So we'll see. I could see this being hung over my head for a little while, but she was, I don't know. She took it as well as you possibly could. I was extremely nervous in the hours, minutes, days following. It was really bad.
So I've got questions.
Yeah, go for it.
I've got questions real quick. So her 21st birthday was Friday?
Her 21st birthday was Monday.
Monday.
Yep.
Okay, so today is Friday.
Yep.
When did you wish her a happy birthday?
So if you want to get technical, I technically wished her happy birthday on Monday after she reminded me that it was her birthday.
Okay, so how did she go about reminding you?
So this is the worst part. We had been texting throughout the day, too. It's not like I was on this cabin trip.
Yeah.
It's not like I didn't have service. And I was just chilling around the campfire, talking with my friends. And then I get a text from her saying, did you forget my birthday?
And what time was this at?
A little after 10 p.m.
Oh, my God.
So all day. I had just completely blanked. I literally ordered her present the day before. I put this in my calendar. I thought I'd get a reminder, and I just blanked. I whiffed. It was really bad. My heart has never sank.
And she didn't get mad?
No, she was mad. She was definitely mad.
Okay.
She just didn't, when we talked afterwards, other than telling me that she had been mad throughout the day, she didn't like unload on me or freak out or go nuts or anything like that, which
I was
couple fortunate.
More questions before I let you go. When is your birthday?
My birthday is July 10th.
Oh, so it's coming up.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Do you expect her to wish you a happy birthday on the day of your birthday?
Yes, 100%.
I would prepare for her not to.
I feel like she will, almost maybe to like rub it in my face a little more. Like I didn't forget, maybe at like 12:01 or something like that. Just to really emphasize.
I hope you bought the most expensive bouquet of flowers you've ever purchased.
That unfortunately was not the case. I'm going to have to keep making this up to her. This is going to be an ongoing process. This could be years.
You're just going to have to celebrate birth month.
Yep.
At this point.
Yeah.
All right, dude. You know I love you. You know I'm proud of you.
Yep.
This is bad though.
This is bad. Yeah. I don't shy away from it. This is terrible. Probably the worst thing I've done in a relationship.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
it'd be hard to top, might I add.
Yeah. Well, I hope it never is topped. But, you know, if you're looking on the bright side here, it happened early.
Oh, here we go.
She didn't break up with me. So now I'm never going to forget her birthday or an anniversary ever again. Hopefully.
That's a strong sentence for being in a relationship for less than a year and already forgetting the birthday.
It's brutal.
I respect you for wearing it, though.
Yeah.
And opening up about it and bringing it to the airwaves. I appreciate you, Riley. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And I hope you don't screw up this weekend, buddy. Good to see you.
Likewise. I also hope I don't screw up. I appreciate the support, and we're going to learn. We're going to improve from this.
I just want you to get better. That's all.
Thank you.
Look, and Colin Russo, who's also a fresh college graduate, is going to join me a bit later. I was just telling Josh DiMaggio off the air, like, nobody holds these guys accountable. Like, when I was a young up-and-coming guy in radio, like Riley and Colin, Josh DiMaggio held me accountable. If I said something stupid, I wore it, right? Like, I've earned the nickname Strofe Beef because I like roast beef sandwiches. That was one of the early, like, mistakes I made was admitting I really enjoy roast beef sandwiches. And since that day, Josh, you can attest to this, you have called me Strofe Beef because as a young producer, it was something I said on the air that I probably shouldn't have admitted to.
Yeah, you got to be held accountable for the things you say. You get in front of a mic, you get over your skis, sometimes you say some things you regret. Now, I don't know what's happened since you've left there, who's not holding these young guys accountable, but Riley, I mean, he's going to be dealing with this for as long as the relationship exists.
Oh, yeah. That's not going away.
He should turn his birthday into a redo of her birthday if he wants to make
it up. That is a good idea. That is a good idea.
At least he can acknowledge that. All right, Riley, Joshy, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's dive into this, though. Scottie Scheffler, the big news of the day. He was detained and arrested this morning in Louisville at Valhalla as the PGA Tour, or PGA Championship, excuse me, continues. He is currently in fourth place, 7 under par. He has had a terrific day, currently on hole 11. So, essentially, what happened was there was a fatal car accident just outside of Valhalla early this morning, about 5 a.m. Scottie, about an hour later, was not following, at least according to eyewitness accounts, police instructions, which were obviously, it was dark outside, like it was not an easy thing to see. And then the term that was used was a police officer attached himself to Scheffler's vehicle. Scheffler ultimately pulled over, was asked to get out of the car, was pushed up against the car, and was detained and ultimately arrested. Now being charged with a felony of assaulting a police officer, among other charges, misdemeanors and the such. And this is just insane, right? I mean, this is the most insane story I remember in a long time, especially in golf, where the number one golfer in the world was arrested for assaulting a police officer. My understanding is, I don't think he really knew what was happening, right? Like, when you read the term, a police officer attached himself to the vehicle, it's one of two things, right? He jumped on the hood of the car, or it might have been a car with like bars on the top where he's hanging onto that and stepping on a step on the side of the vehicle. The police officer suffered abrasions in his wrist and his knee by being dragged by the vehicle. And ultimately, Scheffler was taken out on bond and made his tee time, which is just insane at Valhalla. So that's the long and short of it. My hope is cooler heads prevail, because this is a wacky situation, right? Ultimately, somebody died just outside of the golf course this morning. So the police already had their hands full. Scottie Scheffler, though, the number one golfer in the world, looking to go there and tee off at the PGA Championship. And, oh, man, ultimately arrested. It is an insane scenario and insane. Jeff Darlington from ESPN, by the way, covers the NFL and now golf for ESPN. Was that there on site? Was an eyewitness to the happenings? He tweeted this video on X this morning of pretty much what he saw. And ultimately, when he realized what was going on, he pulled out his phone. And this is the situation that Jeff Darlington saw.
Guys.
Dude, Step back.
Back up.
I'm back. I'm back.
You're game one, right?
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Guys,
what do we do? I'm staying back.
Here's the thing. Right now, he's going to jail.
Okay.
He's going to jail, and it ain't nothing you can do about it. Period. There's nothing you can do about it.
Okay.
Now, do you have
questions? I'm media. Okay. I'm a reporter. Okay. So that's all. I just want to make sure that's known.
Okay, but you need to step back over here now.
No problem. You got it.
Okay.
Okay.
That Jeff Darlington from ESPN on site in Louisville, Kentucky this morning. Absolutely bizarre scenario. And obviously this is just getting started, I imagine, at least from a legal proceeding standpoint. I feel for both sides, man, right? Like, it seems like obviously there was a terrible situation that unfolded about an hour prior to this. Jeff Darlington did a really nice job of just trying to, trying to say something, right? Given the scenario that was underway. And Jeff Darlington also this morning on ESPN said that he was asked, you know, do you know the name of the person we're arresting? So they didn't know who it was. And to be fair, look, if Scottie Scheffler walked down the street yesterday, I don't know what he looks like. I know he's the number one golfer in the world, but I don't know that I could pick him out of a lineup. So, you know, and I'm not saying he deserves special treatment. I just imagine it was a very odd scenario given what had gone down an hour prior to Scheffler's arrival at the golf course. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's just nuts. It's just nuts what went down in Louisville today. So that's the big story of the day, is Scottie Scheffler was arrested and being charged with a felony, among some other things, but is golfing right now and is technically tied for fourth place, 7 under, three guys tied for the lead, including Colin Morikawa and Xander Schauffele, 9 under. Scheffler at the top of the leaderboard for the fourth place, obviously 7 under, so 2 strokes back of the lead at the PGA Championship at Valhalla Golf Course in Louisville, Kentucky. Whoa. Okay. That's a way to start a Friday. Let's move on to the Green Bay Packers, though. Schedule release came out Wednesday night. I got to tell you, though, I watched all 32 schedule release videos. It's a thing teams are doing now, is they release some sort of cinematic video. Sometimes they actually say the names of the opponents and when they are and where they are. And sometimes it's just like a comedic bit and the schedule pops up at the end. So it was quite odd, but I watched all 32. Very, very intrigued by that. We'll get to that a little bit later. The Packers schedule, though, a couple takeaways. Number one, they don't play a divisional game until week 4, which I kind of like. They open divisional play September 29th, week 4, against the Minnesota Vikings at Lambeau Field. And then don't play another one until week 9. 6 of their divisional games are played after their bye in week 10. Including both meetings with the Bears, weeks 11 and 18. They go to Detroit week 14 and to Minnesota week 17. So they actually end the season the same way they did this year, which is week 17, week 18, week 17 at Minnesota, and then week 18 at home against Chicago. Same way they ended the season last year, obviously, with wins in both of those games to advance to the playoffs, and we know what happened there. The other big takeaway is the 5-week stretch of this. America's Game of the Week on Fox, week 12, at Lambeau Field against the San Francisco 49ers. Coming off of a short week, or going into a short week, rather, that following week, they play on Thanksgiving. They're the nightcap on Thanksgiving on NBC against the Miami Dolphins. They play the next Thursday on Prime Video, Thursday Night Football, at the Detroit Lions. The following Sunday, they go to Seattle to play Sunday Night Football against the Seahawks. And then the following Monday, 8 days later, to kick off the holiday week, Monday, December 23rd, they host the Saints on Monday Night Football. That is a wild stretch for the Packers. It will make or break their schedule. 49ers, Dolphins, Lions, at Seahawks, home against the Saints on Monday Night Football. A lot of primetime games. Jordan Love demanding the national spotlight, but that will be what essentially makes or breaks the Packers' schedule. Primetime respect, though, for the Packers, which I love. Also, you can't really count this as a primetime game, although it is. Week 1, Friday night, at the Philadelphia Eagles in Sao Paulo, Brazil. That's a Peacock exclusive game, unless they're in Milwaukee or Green Bay. You get the home market then. I mean, this is a team that's garnering some respect after what they did last year, which I love to see. So we'll continue to react to the schedule and the Scottie Scheffler arrest/release coming up next. I also have a bone to pick with Colin Russo, who will join me for a Colin Russo Friday. That's coming up next, but Mr. Irrelevant, of course, brought to you by my friends at Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. You can check out their website, doorcountydistillery.com, for a full list of unique cocktail recipes, as well as the retailer nearest you. They'll elevate any gathering, tailgate, whatever you got going on. Door County Distillery, there to assist. You can check out their website again, doorcountydistillery.com. We'll take a 60-second break. When we come back, Colin Russo joins me to talk all of these things, as well as I've got a bone to pick. That's next. It's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Strofe. I'm back at the legendary Door County Distillery with the legendary Beth.
Hi.
Nothing bigger right now than espresso martinis and confession.
I've never had one, Beth, so I think I need you to teach me how to make one.
It's real simple. With ours, we do our Java infusion, which is our coffee-infused spirit, our vodka, some chocolate sauce, and some coconut cream, so it's dairy-free for those who can't have lactose. We're going to start with 2.5 ounces of our Java, because this is a martini, so lots of booze.
Yes!
1.5 of our vodka, about 1/2 ounce of your chocolate syrup, and your coconut cream, or cream if you prefer. Shake this for about 15 seconds.
She's a pro. I'd spill everywhere.
Strain that into our martini glass. There we go. Quick and easy espresso martini.
Time to try it. First ever espresso martinis. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, that's delicious. That's really good. I'm an espresso martini girly now. Yeah, no doubt.
Who isn't?
Check out their website with a huge list of unique cocktail recipes at DoorCountyDistillery.com. That's DoorCountyDistillery.com. Yeah, we roll on your Friday. And joining me now is another recent graduate of the University of Wisconsin at Madison. Good for him. What a weekend. Colin Russo joins me now from his apartment. Hello, Colin.
Good afternoon, Sheriff. How you doing?
I'm fantastic, buddy. How are you doing?
Good. Rolling along here. It's a beautiful day. Gonna take advantage of that sunlight after this, and here we are.
So you graduated college last weekend.
That's correct.
How's this week been for you?
You know what I don't love? Everybody goes, congrats, congratulations. I don't see it. I don't think that whole congratulatory thing is, I think it's a little put on. I'm going to be honest. I don't know. Maybe I'm just hating, but it doesn't really feel like a congratulatory type of thing because everybody's getting congratulated. All of a sudden, the congratulations doesn't feel that great anymore when you got four different people congratulating each other in unison, and all of a sudden everybody feels congratulated, and then nobody's congratulated.
Okay, I actually understand your thought process there, and I tend to agree with it. However, this is a big accomplishment. It's a big moment in your life. You have a college degree now, somehow.
Sure.
You went to prestigious university, got out in 4 years.
And the commencement, I'll tell you this, the commencement, they had the skills coach of the New Jersey Devils there. She used to play women's hockey with UW.
Yep.
And she was good. You know, she didn't try to preach. She wasn't political. A little too autobiographical, if that's the word. Maybe too many stories. Went a little long. But she did a good job. All of a sudden, at the end of it, you're sitting there, 10,000 kids in the stands, 60,000 in the stands, 10,000 on the field. They got the fireworks going off over the end zone and everything that. It feels like it's Saturday Night Lights. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was looking at that and I was trying to think reflectively. And I really I don't know. I don't know. I didn't buy it.
Okay. So you just weren't proud of yourself?
No. Proud is a word. I was just I don't know. It's a little, maybe it hasn't hit me yet. Maybe it's that. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I didn't drink the Kool-Aid.
So I brought this up on Monday's show, and it's unfortunate we don't have photographic evidence of this, but you did post this on your Instagram story. And I was really blown away by this. Previously, the graphic beneath you said UConn stan Colin Russo. And that says college grad Colin Russo, which you've earned. You've earned college grad. But you graduated from the University of Wisconsin. And what you were wearing to your graduation was none other than a University of Connecticut polo. Don't you feel like that's in bad taste?
Bad taste? You know how many people came up to me like, why are you wearing that? I'm like, first of all, doesn't matter. It does not concern you what I wear.
It's a fair point.
Second of all, no, it's not. I don't know where my Wisconsin polo was. I have three polos, two of which are UConn, one of which is Wisconsin. My Wisconsin one was out of commission. I have no idea where that was. So I threw on a UConn one. I'm not throwing on a suit and tie.
Do you
it was
not
80
own
degrees.
A button-up shirt?
Yeah, it was too hot for that. You not see this?
You're a dork.
Listen, it's a two-time national champion. You got some nerve coming up to me barking about UConn.
Hold on.
UConn's won two straight national championships.
This is one of the defining moments of your life, is college graduation. And you didn't prepare an outfit. You didn't look for it. You said, I have no idea where it is. You live in an apartment. It can't be very far.
You know, there's a point to that. Yes. Maybe I was a little lazy in my preparation for college graduation, but the point still stands. A University of Wisconsin student has some nerve to come up and talk about how UConn is in bad taste. First of all, let me tell you one thing. Have you watched the Wisconsin offense? Wisconsin's offense, that is bad taste. UConn's offense, that is cinematic. Flares.
Colin,
flash.
Explain to me why you decided to go to the University of Wisconsin. Why did you decide to go here?
All right, let's rewind the clock back 4 years. I wanted a school that had a mixture of football and basketball. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
I wanted a sport because I was not a college fan of a team growing up. Both my parents went to small schools. My sister went to Notre Dame. There was over my dead body when I root for Notre Dame. And so I needed a team that I was going to, follow along with. That could be my team. And I knew that coming in. So, of course, the Big Ten schools, a couple SEC schools, didn't get the University of Georgia. All of a sudden, Wisconsin comes on my lap. I get in. And what does Wisconsin have? From my view from afar, here's what I thought Wisconsin had. Wisconsin was a big school. It wasn't overly saturated in its in-state presence. It had football. It had relevant football and had relevant basketball. Little did I know that throughout the next 4 years, University of Wisconsin would have maybe the least successful run of football and basketball for a good chunk of, like, 20 years.
Two decades. That's fair.
Two decades. At the same time, both teams stunk, Wisconsin basketball had one or two good years, but nonetheless, pretty unremarkable. And the football team was a disaster. So I went in expecting to get, the Alabama treatment where, like, they're in the national championship game, but the Hoops team's also in the Final Four. That's all I hear because everybody talks about, the Final Four, 2015, we got screwed. Oh, we got the Final Four, the Rose Bowls. All of that. So what am I supposed to think? I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to go down to the Rose Bowl a couple times.
Just stop the long explanation. What you are saying is because they let you down in your 4 years in Madison, you jump ship to a two-time national champion instead of just sticking it out and being a Badgers fan.
I've always been a UConn fan. I've always had some allegiance to UConn. But with college hoops, I drank a little bit of the Kool-Aid once they started becoming great. But my brother was involved in the program. And he was involved in the program, so that was an easy one. And I couldn't stand watching the Wisconsin Hoops team.
So you wore a UConn shirt to graduation.
That wasn't it. There wasn't anything to it. It was just a matter of, listen, two-time national champion.
You're setting it up as if you are punishing the Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin for making bad athletic department decisions, and rather than saying, hey, I'm proud of my school, I'm proud of where I went, I'm going to wear a tie or a Wisconsin polo, you are punishing the university by wearing a different university to your college graduation. That's what it sounds to me.
You know what drove me crazy, too, about that graduation? They had everybody stand up and do varsity. I think varsity is one of the most overrated, overdone,
you've said this before.
Completely waste of time tradition as there can be in college football. I hate varsity. I think it is so – I've seen the basketball team do it when they're down 20. I've seen the football team do it when it's a 17-3 game in the second quarter. It is the worst tradition. And I don't even love jump around either. It is the worst tradition in college sports. So that pissed me off when I'm standing up there and they're making everybody go arm in arm and sway back and forth, singing a song that I do not know the lyrics to, number one. And number two, my only recollection of this song is hearing it done in games in which Wisconsin is likely losing. So that is my thought process with that. And that also left a bad taste in my mouth, if you will.
Colin Russo, Joshy DiMaggio here. You are an absolutely miserable person. You just hate everything. It's unbelievable.
Joshy, it's good to hear from you again.
The screen says, Colin Russo hates tradition.
Don't tell me, Josh. I don't know if Josh is still here with us, But don't tell me that the varsity thing, like, that doesn't do anything for me. There's nothing to it. It's not – it's an alumni song. They do it in the worst times of the game. At least do it when you win. I don't understand it. It's the stupidest thing in the world, and I do not like the song, and it rubs me in the wrong way.
You're miserable.
Yeah, you're just miserable.
Can we circle back to something?
Thing, man, figure it out.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Hunter. Yeah. Circle back. Hunter,
yeah, so this whole, like, you're upset with people because, heaven forbid, other UW students are like, dude, you're kind of lame for wearing UConn stuff. Like, it has nothing to do with the on the court or on the field stuff. It's the fact that you're graduating from the school. Wear the school colors or wear something nice. It has nothing to do with athletics. It is the academic institution.
I think,
like, if you don't care about that, then don't go to the school.
I think what we're learning is Colin's closet is very thin, and he only has a few shirts to wear, and I think he just chose the only polo that was clean because he probably doesn't do laundry because he's a disgusting, miserable human being, and that's just the one he wears.
Whoa. Time out. You got some nerve coming at me like that. What a joke. Here's what I'll say. To Hunter's point about the academic institution, I understand, but I think – everybody, see, the thing is, everybody loves, you know, guarding about Wisconsin athletics and, you know, the games. That's the namesake of the school. You could talk about the academics and everything. People care about the sports. That's the idea. That's what I care about. And listen, me just wearing a there's nothing they could say. If I wore like a VCU polo, that's one thing. But the two straight national champion UConn Huskies, yeah, that gets a pass. Comparatively, if I wore an Indiana or a Nebraska polo, I think that's a little different. But if you win two straight,
Bozo, you're receiving your diploma. Nobody cares about the athletics. You were graduating for going to school.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
It is fair. There's a method to my madness, if you will, though. It's all about the sport.
No, there's not. There is very clearly no method.
No. We entered into the Russo spin zone here, and we've gone too far. You were just too lazy to find your red Wisconsin shirt. That's it.
That's part of it. That's 50%. 50%. The other 50% is, listen, I'll show these people what a winner looks like, and that's UConn Huskies.
Okay, that's enough. All right, before I let you go, that's the main reason I wanted to have you on today was to discuss that debacle. You're such an idiot. What do you make of Scottie Scheffler being arrested this morning in Louisville, Kentucky? What's your reaction?
How about
you woke up this morning probably hungover if I was a betting man, and you saw that. What was your reaction?
So, of course, 6 in the morning, whenever it happened, you get confused because all the stories are getting spun. Did Scottie Scheffler run over a police officer? Was he fighting off the cops? Was he drunk? That's what I was all confused about because there was the Tiger comparisons and yada, yada, yada. So then you read into it, and all of a sudden you got one cop who thinks he's Captain America jumping onto the car. Listen, it's 6 a.m. at a golf club. It is not – you're not protecting the embassy. Let's just put it that way. So this guy tries to jump into harm's way at 6 in the morning. What guy is trying to break into Valhalla Golf Club at 6 in the morning? So this guy, apparently was his arm in the car? Was he on top? Whatever it was. And they're acting like Scotty took this guy for a joyride and started driving around doing spins and everything like that. He drove for like another 10 yards. This guy just lunged himself at this car trying to be some sort of superhero. And he gets burned.
Hold on.
You don't think this guy's going to be put on desk duty?
There was a tragedy an hour prior, right? Like somebody got hit by a car and died an hour prior. So they're working a scene of a crime, and that's what Scotty was driving past. So that's what makes it a little bit more convoluted than just this guy was acting like a superhero. Heightened sense of reaction, if you will.
A heightened sense of reaction is an understatement. Like no person in their right mind is going to try to, like, listen, get the plates and run the plates later. You don't need to hurl yourself in front of a moving vehicle to attempt to get it to stop. And
that
then
part
all
I don't necessarily disagree with.
The cop was definitely embarrassed because he just got lunged around by a car. So what does you have to do? You have to arrest the guy immediately. And as it turns out, lo and behold, it's the number one golfer in the world. So now he's going to get screwed. This guy's going to be put on desk duty. He's going to be refilling the water coolers at Louisville Metropolitan Police Department. And, you know, he's going to get burned because of this. It's a bad look.
I knew you would have some sort of reaction to this. And the issue is, I don't know how to react to said reaction.
You don't think that guy's going to be put on desk duty, taken off?
No.
No, that's not how the world of law enforcement works.
Colin, someone died. It was an active crime scene. Of course they're going to take it seriously. Stop acting like it isn't a big deal. The whole thing was a big deal. The cop, of course, is going to react in a way to try and make sure that nothing else happens. Like, stop it. You're sitting here acting like, no, you're an idiot. Hunter. You're an idiot. This is a terrible take. Someone died. Take it seriously for 30 seconds.
No, I agree. And you know what? The tragedy thing, that's a whole different story. But we're talking about the actual Scheffler situation. I know it's related in a degree, but my point is, Hunter,
it's directly related.
If you're a police officer and you got a car driving 10 miles per hour, whatever it was, around you, you're going to hurl yourself in front of the vehicle in an attempt to get it to stop. Look, the crime scene, right? He's going around it at the very least. And I understand. And, you know, like, it's a tragic situation what happened before that. And that's a whole nother story. But the fact of the matter is that does not give the cop the right to jump in front of the car when there was just a confusing series of events, hurls himself in front of the car, and then acts like Scotty Scheffler was like committing a major felony. It was a confusing situation. He got released. He's playing right now. Clearly wasn't a big deal if he's playing right now. Can you think about all the rah-rah they put him through? They actually made him change his clothes into an orange jumpsuit to take his mugshot.
That part's nuts.
There's nobody in that police department that's like, listen, this is the number one golfer in the world. He's got a PGA championship today. Maybe we're taking this a little too far. The guy's going to be referred to the
water cooler. Released without bail, which is also crazy to me.
So they're going to drop all of those charges. They let him play today. Clearly, this was a situation in which they don't think Scotty Scheffler did anything that's remotely worth a punishment. So who gets burnt now? Somebody's going to have to take – this is a big PR thing. Somebody's going to have to take the brunt of this. It's going to be that police officer.
Yeah.
He's going to be refilling the water cooler.
We'll see how it continues to – it's going to be fine. He's not going to be mopping the floor. Stop saying that. We will see how this situation continues to evolve over the course of the weekend. You are a ridiculous human being. Last thing I have for you, Colin, is this. NFL schedule release this week. Packers at Jaguars, Sunday, October 27th. I have received commitment from Brad Nortman and Kyle Wallace. Can I receive a commitment from you that we will be in Jacksonville October 27th?
100%. I'm there. I've never been there. I've never been there for a game, but you know, I wouldn't say from what I've heard, Jacksonville's not like Hawaii, right? It's not like, you know, operation destination, like the best place you could possibly go for a game. But I still got to go to a game. They don't really sell it well enough. The Packer fan is going to have a big presence at that game, but we're definitely going to go to that. It's good weather too. Let's mix it up.
Yeah, let's mix it up. I'll see you there in Jacksonville. Do you have any Jacksonville Jaguar? Go ahead.
All right, so I got two things. Number one is, did you know that Jacksonville only plays in their further schedule? Jacksonville only plays in their home building, Everbank Field. They do it twice in the first 7 weeks. And their schedule, let's go through this really quick. They start on the road at the Dolphins. Then they got the Browns at home. That's two playoff teams right there. Then they're at the Bills on Monday Night Football. Then they got at the Texans. Then they got the Colts at home. Then they got two London games.
Are you going to run through the whole schedule?
Yeah, he says quickly, and then he's going to go week by week. What an idiot!
He's gonna play the schedule game. I've got a loss here. They're going to be 12-5.
Jacksonville has two games in their building in the first 7 weeks. They have two international games. They have no back-to-back week at home all year. And they start the season with Colts, Texans, Bills, Browns, and Dolphins. That is not easy.
Wow.
And let's flip it a little bit. Let's flip it to what the Atlanta Falcons got. To talk about a popular overpick. Listen to the Falcons' last eight games. They go at a couple road games, sure. They're at New Orleans, at Denver. Then they got a late bye week. Then they got home the Chargers, at Minnesota, at Las Vegas, home Giants, at Washington, home Carolina. That is as easy of a schedule as I have ever heard.
Okay, Kyle, let me ask you this. So Mike North, who is the NFL's vice president of scheduling, do you think he will be on mop duty next year after this horrible mistreatment of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Well, I believe they change up who's in charge of a lot of this stuff. I know they have a big committee. Because I know a guy
Mike North is always, he's the vice president. He's always the top dog.
Okay, so Mike North, listen, like they always screw Jacksonville. How about the Bears getting screwed too? The Bears got the Packers twice. They got the Packers at home week 10 or 11 after the Packers bye week, which nobody wants to deal with. Who wants to deal with the team post bye? And the Bears bye is like week 7.
All six of their divisional games, the Bears, by the way, all six of their divisional games are in the last 7 or last 8 weeks.
So they got six divisional games, and they had like two other games, which I can't remember off my head. But then they got the Packers week 18 in Lambeau, and they got the Packers coming off their bye at home when the Bears do not have a bye. And they have an international game. That is brutal. That is getting screwed.
Yeah, so their last 8 games are as followed. Home against Green Bay, home against Minnesota, at Detroit, at San Francisco, at Minnesota, home against Detroit, home against Seattle, at Green Bay.
So they got their 6 divisional games, and their 2 other games are Seattle and San Francisco.
Yeah, home against Seattle, at San Francisco.
Still, that's 2 good teams that they're going to have to match up with.
They might go 2-6 down the stretch.
That is a brutal stretch. And the Packers got their schedule. That was a favorable schedule for the Packers. They have that tough stretch in the middle, but they have a fairly easy beginning and a definite easy end. So it's Packers need to play their best ball. And also they split up their bye week with all their big games because they got the Texans, Jaguars, Lions. Then they got their bye. Then they go, I believe, Bears, then Niners. And then you go –
Thanksgiving Lions? Against the Dolphins.
Thanksgiving Dolphins then against the Lions. Yes.
And then you go Sunday night at Seattle and then Monday night at against New Orleans at Lambeau.
Yes. So after that, from that Seattle game on, it's fairly easy, but they split up the tough games with their bye week, which I thought was smart. And how about the NFL too? They knew that everybody would get pissed off with this Netflix thing, getting the holiday games. So what'd they do? They did Ravens, Texans, and Steelers, Chiefs. 2 great games that can't miss. Smart. That's what the NFL does.
That's what they do. Mike North does a great job, but according to Colin Russo, he'll be mopping floors.
No, other than the Jacksonville, because of
the disservice he did to the Jags.
Every year they get screwed. Every year. Why don't they play the Bears the second of the London games? Because it's actually the second London game that's advantageous. That's the technical home game. And why don't they play the Bears, the second of which, because then you already have a week in London, you're acclimated, and that's when they beat the Bills last year in that second game as well. Played the Falcons the first game, beat them, then they hung around for a week, then played the Bills and beat them. That second game is pretty advantageous because you're not traveling, you're not jet-lagged or anything like that.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Maybe, I think my dream job is to be in charge of scheduling for the NFL. That'd be a lovely gig.
You know how many people are breathing down your neck with that type of thing? Oh, my God. It'd be a nightmare.
Goodell more than ever, actually. But yes.
Well, Goodell's great at this job. It'd be great, though. Let's be honest. People want to hate on Goodell. Goodell's great at this job.
He's made the NFL bigger than obviously anything else. So, yes, he's good in that department. I still think he's kind of a bozo, but he's a good commissioner.
Of all the commissioners, he's by far the best. He's by far the best commissioner.
Adam Silver.
Here's what's Adam Silver's problem. Imagine this. So you're thinking about, what is this, Tuesday night. Series tied 2-2, Denver, Minnesota. Right? Mm-hmm. They got the Knicks before Game 5. That's a huge day for the NBA. How do you handle that? How do you schedule that? Here's what they did. They did an 8 p.m. start New York time Eastern for that Pacer-Knicks game, which you didn't need to do because it's a Tuesday night and people can get to the game at 7 or 6:30 even. And then you also got starting the T-Wolves-Nuggets game at 10:30 Eastern. It started at 10:42 Eastern time. That is the biggest, might be the biggest game in franchise history for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Started at 9:42 local time.
Other than last night, but yeah, Wolves responded
that
last night big time, winning by over 40 points.
That is a complete joke. You can't start a game that late just because you want your precious Knicks at 8 o'clock.
Your precious Knicks. I don't think Adam Silver's making that decision, bud. I don't think that's
an
Adam
Silver
call.
I think Adam Silver very well has a hand in it. Adam Silver gets walked over by the players all the time. At least Goodell puts his foot down. Right. LeBron runs the league more than Silver does. LeBron.
I'm putting my foot down. I will talk to you next Friday. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you for having me.
That guy is unhinged. What a dork. It's Colin Russo. You can find him on Twitter at ColinRusso7. Insane. Insane. All right. Got a couple things to do to wrap up the show.
Good luck.
What do you mean, good luck?
Have fun following that.
How are you feeling, Joshy, after that one?
I mean, that was a tour de force and absolute insanity from that man. He covered every... Like, you got a better Jags schedule breakdown than they're doing in Jacksonville right now.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. He's good at that. I think he's undiagnosed ADHD, right? Because he could go from one thing to the next, no problem.
Yes.
And he's got an opinion on everything.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You ask Colin Russo anything, he's got an opinion on it. Hunter, what's your takeaway from our Colin Russo Friday conversation? How you feeling back there?
I mean, the diminishing of a person dying was kind of tough. But, you know...
I got to be honest, I don't think he knew that. I think he just saw that Scheffler got arrested and he had takes. I don't think he realized what had happened an hour prior.
Yeah, like, of course the officer is going to be, like, freaking out because he's, like, expected just a nice, easy weekend, maybe deal with a couple of drunk guys, and then that's it. And all of a sudden they have an active investigation going. Like, yeah, I'd be probably not in a great headspace there as an officer. I'm so tired of hearing about the Jags, though. It was Wisconsin, ESPN Wisconsin College
at
game day on Saturday. Yeah.
At least they play the Packers.
Like, I'm so tired of hearing about them. It's so exhausting. Every show he does, he has to bring them up. Like, it's so bad.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah, the worst decision our program directors ever made was pairing Colin Russo and Brad Nortman for two seasons on Wisconsin College Game Day. It's the worst decision our suits ever made. Because they have an excuse then. Right, Colin has an excuse to talk Jags because he's talking to a former Jaguar who played on the team that had the best season ever, at least within Colin's life, when they made the AFC Championship game and blew it to Tom Brady. Brad Norton was the punter on that team. It's the last season in the NFL. Bad decision. At least they play this year, though. Week 8, I'm making multiple phone calls to Colin Russo. Talk Jags Packers. I'm looking forward to those.
We'll have a fill-in producer for those.
Yeah, fair enough. We have a very excited Hunter, though. College Football 25, drop the trailer. Roll the tape.
Finally, it is here. You can take all that just another game stuff and throw it out. The eyes of the nation are on this field today, and that's what these players live for.
College Football 25 promo.
I am so pumped. There was more heart and energy in that trailer than I've ever seen out of any Madden game. They had Bevo. They had whiteouts at Happy Valley. It was so good.
I thought you were going to say there was more passion and buy-in in that trailer from the Wisconsin Badgers than we saw all of last season.
There's that too. But I'm so excited for this game. These games were a part of what gave me my love for college football.
How about Leon Lowry, the new Badgers linebacker, who was a transfer from Syracuse, then decommitted because he had an NIL agent. He then fired the NIL agent, recommitted to Wisconsin, being featured alongside Hunter Waller when they walked onto Camp Randall. I felt like that was an odd choice. To Leon, he's doing a great job in spring practices, according to the reports, but I thought that was a choice.
No, I think it's a great choice. He'll probably end up leading the team in sacks this year. Like, I love it. They're calling their shot for the Badgers defense. I'm so excited for this game. I already told my wife that weekend that it comes out, I'm not doing anything. Like, don't even bother. You know, go spend time with your sister. Go do something else, because I'm spending 3 days and I'm playing that game nonstop. I'm so excited for this game. It looks so good. And the best thing is, for any of the gamers out there, the Madden team is not involved in this. This is a whole new team, whole new group of people, so it shouldn't be a Madden reskin. So I'm so excited for this game. If you can't tell.
I'm looking forward to that mid-July. I imagine we're going to kick up an ESPN Wisconsin tournament that weekend. Hunter, I hope you're involved. I hope I'm involved. Joshy, I don't know if you play very many video games, but I hope you're involved.
ESPN Wisconsin, better watch
out. Option attack in the old NCAA like you've never seen before.
All right, so he's going to be playing. Yeah, we're going to have to do an ESPN Wisconsin
The air raid
tournament that weekend.
Washington State's offense.
I'm going back to the wishbone, bringing it back.
Bringing back the wishbone.
Uh-huh.
Okay, respect.
It's unstoppable.
Right. Time to wrap up the show, as we always do. You learn something new every day. I learned something new today. Not really. It's more so, I just wanted to get this in. Best two words in sports. Hunter, what are they?
I don't know where you're going with this. I'm going to be honest.
The best two words in sports. Joshy, the best two words in sports.
Elimination game? Game 7?
Game 7 is what I was looking for.
We finally
got
there.
Game 7, baby! And we've got the opportunity to see three of them over the course of the next few days. The Timberwolves beat the Nuggets by 45 points last night in Game 6. Survive in advance. Nuggets, Wolves, Game 7 at Ball Arena in Denver. You've got the defending champs. You've got the young up-and-coming Wolves. You get Game 7 this weekend. Tonight, you have a Game 6 between the Pacers and the Knicks. Pacers win that at home. We get a Game 7 this weekend. And then Saturday, Thunder Mavericks. You need a Thunder win on the road at Dallas. You get a Game 7. We have the opportunity for 3 Game 7s. The NBA playoffs, although being a little bit watered down by player injuries, has been phenomenal. The Nuggets-Wolves series has been the best series of the year. Outside of the blowout last night and a couple blowouts by Denver when they responded. But the Wolves to go on the road in each of those first two games and win on the road at the defending champs made a major statement. And then they dropped 3 in a row and they respond the way they did last night. Game 7 is going to be absolutely phenomenal. And that is such a great way to kick off Sunday. You would also get Pacers-Knicks Game 7 on Sunday. Shall the Pacers win tonight? And then Monday, you would theoretically get Game 7 between the Mavericks and Thunder if they're able to pull off a win tomorrow on the road. The NBA playoffs are phenomenal. And what I've learned is I truly believe it is anybody's game. The Celtics look better than everybody, but that does not equal a win in the finals. Because I think any of those four teams in the Western Conference, Thunder, Mavericks, Wolves, Nuggets, could give the Celtics one hell of a run. So I look forward to whatever we see over the course of the weekend and into next week. I think we're going to get 3 Game 7s. I've got the Thunder on the road. I think I've got the Pacers tonight. That's the one I'm a little bit less firm on. But I think the Thunder get it done tomorrow. The Pacers tonight, I really hope they win. Even though I think they're a bunch of babies who love to whine and complain. But give me the Pacers tonight. Because I just want Game 7. Game 7 is the best two words in sports. Hunter, the best two words in sports.
Game 6. No, Game 7.
Nicely done. I slid down. All right, that does it for us today. We're back with you Monday at 12:30, reacting to everything the weekend has to bring. Scotty Scheffler, by the way, up to third place, 8 under par at the PGA Championship. Colin Morikawa at minus 10, and Xander Schauffele at minus 9 in second place. He tees off at 2:38 this afternoon. Scotty Scheffler currently on the 14th hole. So we will keep an eye on that throughout the weekend. Will Scheffler be able to pull off the win as the number one golfer in the world following what happened to him this morning. We will find out. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you missed any of the show, of course, find it. YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, just search Mr. Relevant will be the first result. Hunter, thanks. Joshy, thanks. Colin, thanks. We're back with you Monday. We'll talk to you then. I'm Alex Strofe. Peace.